Thomas Torero podcast number 182. Jesus. Romantically entitled Bang It Out. So crank this one up if you're at church or in the gym. You might want to put your headphones in. I am in London, freezing my bollocks off. It's that damp cold, rather than the dry Russian cold, that I shall be experiencing tomorrow. I'm in the kitchen of a luxurious penthouse on paper. We're in the kitchen of Troy Franz's. I say we, because it's a threesome. It's a menage a trois, wow, with a packet of Jaffa Cakes on the table. The special guest today is, not for once, Troy Francis, although it's nice to see you, Troy.
Nice to see you, Tom.
Looking bizarrely fresh. You've just come back from Germany, but what's this, a fake tan or a bit of surgery?
I've been lifting this morning.
A facelift. You're looking good, you're looking fresh.
Thank you very much. No, I'm feeling fresh.
Why do you have a tan? I have a tan, a little bit of a tan.
If I got a tan, that's a bit disturbing, because it probably means there's something chemically wrong with me, which is not.
You're near Chernobyl, though.
I was in Berlin the last few days, and it was really cold, so I shouldn't.
You popped into a sauna, you had one of those.
Yeah.
Spray tans.
Yeah, one of those kind of saunas.
That's Berlin. That's implied, isn't it, when you say Berlin?
Absolutely.
We know your game, Sunshine. And behind you is a CD neon light.
Yes.
So thank you for having us in your kitchen. And I say we because today's special guest, long time coming, that's what she said. It's probably been about 8 years people have been asking for this podcast. So it is the one, the only, the OG, you could say, of Day Game. Certainly of Across the Pond Day Game, it is Mr. Paul Janka. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Tom. A pleasure to be here. This is long in the coming, so I'm excited to sit down with you guys.
Yeah. Stop your innuendos.
Yeah. I was gonna say at the beginning there, when you said it's a threesome, that may be true. There are three guys, but actually, if we tallied all our conquests together, have we broken 1,000? I can contribute 250. Yeah.
I was always 250 was always the magic number for me to beat, because okay. Was that in getting laid in New York City?
I wasn't there yet, but I was probably in the hundreds then. But I just figured between, because you guys have been burning the torch much longer now than I have, so we must.
I'm over 350. I don't think we're unless Troy
you
smashed
Troy,
out 600.
600. No, we're probably not quite at the 1,000 mark.
That puts Will Chamberlain in perspective, doesn't it? He supposedly fucked like 20,000 women. And also Will Chamberlain. And Fidel Castro, apparently like 30,000. Because he used to have entourage that would just comb the beaches in Havana.
What about Genghis Khan? How many did he do?
Genghis Khan, yeah.
Yeah, also.
That's a proper G.
Solomon.
King Solomon, yes.
So that just shows you how many 1,000 women is. Because you have three like seasoned playboys here at different stages. I'm retired, but still, we haven't broken 1,000 bodies. So.
Well,
broken bodies.
a mental image.
Your title for the podcast.
I told you I needed backup for interviewing Paul. So you've been friends for a while.
Yeah, we've known each other.
Yeah, we've known each other for how long? Probably
since I moved here.
Yeah,
when was pretty that? Pretty much 2011.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been quite a few years.
That was through Tinder or Grindr.
it was through plenty of fish. They didn't have Tinder at that point.
And Troy was at my wedding, actually.
Yes,
that's right. So he's seen the whole downfall. The playboy crumbling, losing his and becoming shackled into domestic life.
That's very true, because when we first met, you still had that sheen, you still had the New York kind of
sunglasses,
like,
yeah, swagger,
white dapper suit, yeah,
yeah, a white Gucci suit tuxedo with nothing underneath.
Now I've got a paunch and a fleece.
He's got a fleece and a packet of Jaffa Cakes. Yeah. So,
you were at that. You were still at that sort of height, and then I saw over a few years that the downfall until that fateful day in France when you tied the knot.
Oh, and fuck,
yeah. Yes, and I was with that Polish girl at the time.
That's right. Yeah, we have a couple of nice. And he was funny because he on social media is like a momentous day. Another has fallen. It was like a war memorial.
I think there was a 2 minute silence. It's a bit like when Prince Harry got married, isn't it? You know, you just have to bow your head for a moment and think, you know, another
woman weeping around the world.
Playboy's weeping to think another one's been in the dust. You know.
Yeah, I almost cried at the altar, and a friend of mine is a playboy. So he's not crying. He's crying because he's thinking about all the women he's not going to have access to.
We start where I was going to end, really, with the elephant in the room, because guys listening to this are aware that last week's podcast, Tom Torero was bashing on about non-monogamy. Mm. And I stand up in front of guys and say, I'm not getting married, I'm not having kids, and they all clap. It's yeah. a weird form of celebration. Even my mum's kind of come around to the idea, but that's the question people would want to ask you from being a day gamer, from smashing girls, from having a high sex drive. Mm. You joke about it, but that's the question guys want to know. The reality of...
How does one trade that for domestic life, right?
Yeah, life after the game. How and why? Perhaps why, you know...
It's like a prompt. It's like an essay prompt. You have 3 hours.
particularly because somebody's just tweeted me now. So somebody called Beta Male Manifesto has just tweeted,
Sex is like
food. So how would you...
I mean, so look, let's break it down into some... look, on one level, of course, sex is like a biological urge, right? Like using the bathroom or eating or sleeping. Especially if someone is in tune with their sexuality, it's very carnal. Like lust is a full body experience, yeah. So
I'm feeling it now.
So, yes, that's true. And if you strip away civilization, and I want to circle back to the Sex at Dawn book because I want to hear your thoughts on something, Tom. But if you strip back civilization and the framework of like socialization, how we interact with other people and all, if you strip all and you just reduce us to like our urges, is sex, of course monogamy doesn't make sense, right? I mean, a virile young guy wants to spread his seed and copulate with as many women as he can, and like if your experience and can do well, you can just walk down the street like in New York or London, you can be turned on by a number of women. So it, of course, the question though is, if you've had a good run and you've done that, the problem is it can be a trap, because if you just indulge in your urges, like it's hard to build anything that requires restraining those urges. It's the same thing like discipline with work or discipline with food or exercise or anything. Like if we just indulge in the impulse, in a way, it's hard to build or grow. And I don't know if you...
Well, I suppose...
Sharp intake of breath there from Troy Francis. He's sitting up erect.
I fell off my chair.
Blood boiling now. He's in a rage. You indulge in degeneracy, Troy?
Frequently, yes, absolutely. And I suppose...
I don't mean Jaffa cakes. I mean something more filthy.
Well, that's the hardest thing I could get before I met you guys today. But, I hear what you're saying, Paul, but I suppose... what I've been thinking through recently is, okay, yes, it can get repetitive and you've done it so many times and everything else, but does there have to be an end game? Does there have to be an end point? Because couldn't you argue that somebody is still growing even if they just remain single and shag around for the rest of their life? They're still having different experiences. Their life it doesn't look the same as a married guy's life, but it would be incorrect, wouldn't it, to argue that they are not growing in some way, because I think any experience is gonna allow you to grow.
No, I agree with that. I guess I was saying, if you decide, in my case, for example, I always knew I wanted to have a family and children. I wanted offspring for sure. Like, although it wasn't, I was telling a friend of mine who's actually having a struggle with making this decision
in
the States. He called me yesterday, he's having a bit of a dilemma. When I was younger, it wasn't like a proactive thought, I want to have children. I never had that, but I always assumed that I'd follow the default course. I'd have a wife and kids. And I think if you want... There's certain things that you need to keep in check if you want, like, for example, like extramarital sex or monogamy. Like, if you want that type of outcome, like the nuclear family with a wife who's with children. But I'm not saying that's the only way to grow or build. You can grow in the arts. You can build financially and business. There's a lot of other... But for family formation and children and, like, a harmonious relationship with one other person... generally speaking, I don't know if there's any other really viable models aside from like marriage or long-term cohabitation and monogamy. So if that's a goal of somebody's, then to answer your question, I think for me and my person, that goal and that comfort and that consistency of that partner and that overrode the adventure and the excitement and the novelty of the new girl. But also, I didn't sell down until I got married at 40, so yeah. I had a good run. I mean, I think particularly young guys who get hitched, I mean, I think that can be really a disaster, or scary, unless they have like institutional or religious, you know, guideposts that really keep them in line. But I, you know, for me, my decision was I
I wanted that, and I do. I like the cozy pipe and robe and pipe and slippers life, and playing with my daughter, and you know, choosing the shopping together for the week, and like managing the household and looking at. I find that cozy and stuff. Like, but it's not. It doesn't have the thrill of the chase.
You've been having the cozy pipe and slippers life in the van, haven't you?
I have. Well, just in Cyprus, I was there with my mum and an elderly friend, and it was very cozy. Yeah, this feels like I'm the referee in a boxing match here. In the left corner, it's monogamy against non-monogamy.
I don't think we disagree. I think I agree with Troy. It's just that there's many different ways to express it. And I was counseling my friend. I said, look, I'm not going to give you advice. There's no universals. Like, I absolutely love being a father. I said at the beginning, if banging hot chicks is like a 4, like having my time with my daughter is like a 200, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's like, it's such pure unadulterated joy, like I've never felt. And some parents will tell you that. But other fathers say that having kids, if not a mistake, it's been difficult, it's been a burden, it's this. And my friend was asking, he says, I've talked to other people and they say they kind of wish they didn't have kids because it's like, it's distracted him, it's worn him down, it's strained his marriage, he doesn't have as much sex with his wife, he can't get his business done. And so they don't find that the parenting that exciting.
Yeah.
So there's no universals.
Mm. Yeah, to think in binaries, people wanted this podcast, people that I told about, I was going to meet Paul and do a podcast. They said, well, you've got to, you know, bash it out. Who's going to win? and I say, a more interesting point, a more nuanced point, rather than this binary, should the player settle down or not, is this age when you made the jump, made the decision, 40. Was that right?
I got married at 40.
But when did you stop the...
Met in 30, when I was, I think, 33, but we were, the first couple of years, it was very casual. And then when I moved over here in 2011, so I was 36 or 37. So then I kind of was retired by then. So
why we called it Bang It Out is because a more interesting question perhaps for a guy listening who's 20 or 25 and he's got 10 bangs, maybe 20, and often quoted on the internet is that you should have 30 bangs before you get engaged and settle down. The last time I met you, I think we agreed immediately that 30 bangs... Just before you stop, that's ridiculous. To understand women, to tick off all your little fetishes and fantasies. No,
too low.
Yeah. Too low.
Yeah.
So
I'm 50. Until you hit 50, don't look back. So, I mean, because women are there's so much machination. And I think women, the subtle art of manipulation, deception, I mean, women master this, some women. And I think to stand your ground as a man, you've got to sort of bang through all that, as we said, bang it out. Until you know where you stand and you can take it or leave it, you can kind of see, get a read of the landscape. And that takes, because basically you have to get past the point where sex is like all that great and like it rocks your world to such a degree that you'll do anything for the girl. And you have to have a number of hot chicks under your belt that you've banged and you see that they're just like everyone else. And so you're not, basically the intoxicating power of lust for a young guy is very dangerous because he doesn't see straight in terms of his own interests.
Yeah.
So you got to bang through that until you kind of, it's like mustard gas, you're standing there and you can see the enemy.
You were 33 when you first considered.
Well, I was in my mid 30s when I met a girl that I didn't want to pass on because she, for me, ticked all my boxes, and I was kind of, the writing was a bit on the wall. And actually, as I told Troy in an earlier interview, in a way, my men forced my hand because I had a good coterie of like-minded guys I used to run around in my late 20s and early 30s. So it was fun, and women were very disposable. Like, they were for banging and nothing else, but my love and my fraternity and my consistency came from my men. We would see each other once a week. We'd go out to dinner. We'd go to the movies. We'd smoke cigars.
No bangs with the men.
No bangs.
Not in the. They weren't in the 250. No.
And actually, I'm so glad that you guys have a little brotherhood here. But in New York, my experience was that a lot of my good quality male friends started to fall away, and I kind of. So then I felt like quite like a lone wolf operating in the canyons of Wall Street, and I just thought like, all right, it's harder to access these men now. They have girlfriends. They live in Brooklyn. They're not available at a drop of a hat. And I kind of saw, well, that's where this is going. Like, more and more people go into their pods, men, and these, and it, so But maybe there's a second generation, as you've, I think, mentioned, that either divorced men or men who hold out, you get, and then you, there's a new band of brothers that you find in your mid-40s. I don't know.
Yeah, I think one thing that we all agree on is how important that is to have, because you've talked, Tom, about affection, haven't you? And of course, affection can come from women, yeah. But also equally it can come from your friendships with guys. And I think, you know, what you're saying about having a band of guy friends who you're very close to, you can talk to and everything, is really, really important. But the one thing I wondered was, you've always said, you know, it sort of, it thins out as you get older, yeah. And it gets a bit more ropey and the, you know, and everything else. And I that's true to a degree, but do you think maybe now, with social media the way it is, and with the internet the way it is, there's a possibility of guys getting together on a more global level? Because, I mean, I'm not talking about Grindr.
Just pop into GAY.
Yeah.
Things escalate very quickly, I've heard.
Do you think there's a possibility of a big daisy chain of guys, like, all getting together?
That's a niche, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I think what we've found is that there is a community.
It has changed. People were probably, if you're into old school game, not implying you're old, Paul, but back in the day, we had to, like, it was like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. People had to hand round copies of Getting Laid in New York. That's how I find you, you know, pirated copies or whatever. Sorry, Paul. But it was all very, it was very scattered and very, there was no nucleus.
And the crowd then was relatively eccentric as well, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
It was the early days of game. People hadn't really put everything together, and the internet allowed that. So now if you walk around Union Square, Washington Square, Leicester Square, you're going to see guys. And as you said, interestingly, some of them are now in their 40s. And we were thinking it is 40 the end. And I've been living with guys that are in their 50s and that are doing it. And that are banging girls in their 30s. So
yeah.
They're like the canaries in the coal mine. So when you said 33, I just remember that my best or my most enjoyable, my dirtiest year of game was I was about 37, I think, when I feel like I really peaked in my, not in my game, but in my horniness.
I know I left money on the table.
Yeah, I was, 33 is quite early to walk away, but you had banged it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think I kind of put the sword down finally, maybe when I was 35 or something. I have to look at the actual date, but that I was forced to commit. But what I will say,
yeah, at the beginning of World War One, or the fallen soldier.
Imagine no line.
So, but yeah, no doubt. I mean, I remember I was still getting, when I sort of went into domestic life and monogamy, I was still getting so much attention from girls. Like, I was really at the peak of my game and sort of my seduction power. So yeah, I left money on the table. And as I was just commenting before, Troy, you guys are looking great. So you could have another, I mean, however long your run is. I mean, so to your point, it's extended. It's just, the other thing too is I increasingly find that I'm sort of an unusual, that being getting married in the nuclear family and having children and going through that whole sort of traditional post-war, I'm increasingly the anomaly, especially among younger people.
Do you
people.
Think that's the case, though? Because we are finding online a lot of guys who are taking quite a traditional conservative view towards...
In their ideas, or do they act on it?
Some of them, I believe, are acting on it, but certainly in their ideas, there does seem to be a shift in the men's space online towards talking about, but you shouldn't be banging these sluts, you know, you should settle down and do the right thing and get married and everything else.
It's almost come full circle. It's quite, yeah. It's going through a weird phase of the community where banging's not very popular anymore. Troy and I
wasn't it based on banging?
It's weird, yeah. I'm constantly justifying the bang, and guys are saying, Tom, but really, you know, come on now.
But they will say things which I think... It'd be interesting maybe to get your perspective on, because they will say things like, your life is meaningless if you don't finally do the right thing and commit, or you know, and that's alongside all the other stuff, you'll be a lonely old man and you'll die on your own in a nursing home and all that, which is...
But it's also got a religious connotation, though.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I keep coming back to this phrase, do the right thing. It seems to be very much based in this, as if there is this... prescribed behavior that one should really be adhering to. And I would take issue with that. I think if by choice, I think if you do what you want, but would you agree that there's not a...
I find that interesting that like moral crusaders have like invaded.
We're perplexed.
The manosphere, what the hell?
We're the immoral crusaders who are trying to fly the flag for us.
If you had told me that 5 years ago, that I'd be talking to day gamers about coming to Christ, I'd have to go, what the fuck? But it's very popular. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe because enough guys have banged it out. Perhaps they have, or perhaps they say they have. And people are searching for the next thing. But I have to say I'm with Troy in that when someone says to me, Tom, what's your end game? I see judgment in that, as if it's okay to bang around for a little bit, but Tom, come on now. You know, when you get
moral judgment.
And if you come from a religious background, I accept that. I certainly accept if you have kids, if you want kids. And I was a school teacher, so I taught many kids, right. And my sister has many kids. So yeah, if you have kids, then I see that nuclear family structure. But if you can get to the point where you think, actually, I don't want kids, and I want to pursue a passion, and I want a lot of time for that.
I think there's a lot of ways to make meaning. I mean, you don't just have to make meaning through family. I mean, to the gay community, for example, prior to adoption or whatever, when that, you know, that sort of is happening now, maybe, but 10 years ago, I mean, that's basically the same kind of homophobic argument, like the gay's life is not worth anything because they don't procreate. I mean,
you look at somebody like Francis Bacon, the painter, who spent a lot of his time just down the road getting drunk and, you know, and created some of the great painting, the great British artwork of the 20th century. He was gay, but he never had children. But are we to say his life was meaningless because of that? Well, I mean, in some ways, you could say his life was more meaningful than the many, many patriarchs, in inverted commas, who had children, but, you know, are completely forgotten, because he's created something lasting that's gone down the generation. So,
people again make it binary. They misunderstand what I'm saying. Even last week's podcast was perhaps got the most emails after last week's podcast, because I basically said, look, guys, I just don't think humans are monogamous. Obviously, some guys took issue with that, got upset with that. Guys are very invested in that, certainly if you're thinking about marriage. But they thought I was saying pump and dump forever. Just smash, never see her again. When I always talk to you, don't I, Troy, about everyone needs affection. We're not designed to be alone. If you don't have a group of male friends, certainly I spend a lot of time with women, you know? I'm forever evenings out with girls, so I feel like I have these little, like a diver coming up for air, I have these bubbles of affection. So I don't get them from one girl, but I'm certainly not recommending to a guy to go out there into the desert alone, just pumping that forever. It's certainly going to leave you feeling confused.
Yeah, because I think people do think it's this very nihilistic thing where you're just this clinical kind of...
Well, it's either or. They think it's either marriage and kids or pump, get her out, sit there in your pants.
Yeah.
They don't see at all that the life of a player is actually pretty busy.
Yes, absolutely, yes. And as you say, I mean, you have to have affection, you have to have companionship, you have to find ways to build that in.
Meaning and connection.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing I think is that people make mistake is that they point to, like, this ideal of marriage and kids, these moral... But a lot of marriages go tits up. And kids can be, for a number of reasons, such heartache if a kid is born unhealthy, or... There's tragedy, you lose a child, or a marriage falls apart. So, I mean, that's why this whole binary thing is silly. There's so many different, almost individual, personal journeys.
Well, I suppose the contention, I guess, Tom, or the sort of direction I think Tom's coming from, which I would probably come from myself, is that monogamy is inherently...
Restrictive, right?
Well, inherently not really what... really natural to us as human beings. That's not to say you can't do it, and that's not to say you can't make it work.
You can override it. I mean,
but given that there's an inherent problem with monogamy itself, that makes marriage challenging, let's say, which is why the marriage, you know, the divorce rate is so high, both here and interestingly, even in Eastern European countries in the former Soviet Union.
It's actually
Russia,
higher.
It's higher, yeah, even in these really conservative countries. So something's clearly not working, and people will say, oh yeah, but you've just got to screen to get the right girl, or you've just got to work harder to make it work and everything. But for me, taking a step back, the problem seems to be more fundamental than that. The monogamy itself is...
I agree with you. I mean, look, maybe I'm a guinea pig or a litmus test for... I don't believe in monogamy, and I also don't think it's natural. I think biologically we're meant to spread our seed, but I'm married and I'm faithful to my wife. You can, if the superstructure and what it gives you, in my case, is more important, you can override those urges.
Yeah. And actually, I think
the sex, the percentage or the sexual component of marriage is actually not that big in a lot of, over the long term. It's more like someone once said, I think it's great, it's like running a small nonprofit. It's about logistics and who's doing the shopping and is renting the account and who's picking up the. So if you like that and you like to have children and you like the coziness and the, I said in our interview, the witness, one nice thing about my wife and I is we have like 10 years of memories that we can call on, and there's a continuity there that I really value. That supersedes any like lust.
Yeah, but it's certainly, it's a decision that you have to make. It's something you have to, and it, and then it's something that you have to almost actively work on to ensure continuity, rather than, I think what some people would, some people are almost trying to argue that it's just the natural default state, and if you just,
or even worse, that it's like the hanging up your boots stage. Like, you know, game takes a lot of work, chasing women takes a lot of work, and finally there'll be this mythical moment when you can lie back with a pipe and marriage will just take care of itself. You know, and people forget that I was married. I was married. Did you know that, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was married.
Maybe you said that. For how long?
8 times. I was married for 2.5. 3 years. When I was 19 when I got married. I got married at Oxford.
What?
So that part, when guys ask me about long-term relationships and they're in their 20s, coming back to the title of the podcast, I say, mate, you're 22. I'm like, come on, bang it out, learn the full colours of the rainbow, and certainly tick off all the things you want to tick off, and don't really come back to me until you're past 30. I often say to guys 35.
I think, you know,
because you shouldn't, if you're listening to this podcast and you're 20 and you're considering these pretty deep, serious questions, you've got a lot of time.
Yeah.
I would suggest going on a bang world tour. Just fucking get it out of your system.
I'm absolutely in favour of marriage for men who have reached the age of 70. I think that's absolutely fine. I think if by 70, you know yourself, you know what you want.
The Rolling Stones model.
Exactly, exactly.
Get a young 25-year-old nurse who can work the CPAP and the adjustable bed.
Exactly,
right?
We have a friend who was married 5 times.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
That's right. He really gave it a go.
He did. He wasn't afraid of marriage. There's an interesting stat that men who have been married are more likely to get married again, even if it was a disaster.
Is that right?
Yeah, so maybe you're contender,
but the affection side of it, I can see why people like the idea of it, because the affection side of it is appealing. Because as you've said, you know, affection addiction, guys, beyond
it's,
sex,
it's necessary.
It's necessary, and it's also really, you know, it's also really nice. Let's be honest. However, all too often you see guys going into marriages and maybe they're not quite suited, or something goes wrong, or it's just because monogamy itself is problematic and they end up breaking up. So it's not this panacea that cures everything, is it?
Of course not. No. I mean, I think I've been candid on this podcast, but if I'm totally honest, what I like about being married is like I can go home and like I can hear about what my wife did for the day, or I can like unpack the shopping with her, or like we chose our couch together, we have a pink couch, and like we can get it. Or I can buy like a wool blanket, and I know she'll get excited being under, and we can watch a movie together, like all these like cozy things. It doesn't have the electricity of a new girl, you know. For guys who think, I mean, you should definitely get all your thrills out of the way before you get married. It's a very marriage is like quite a sedate, kind of comfortable, cozy thing.
What do you think? So there's this different sort of school of thought around this, which is a bit more along the lines of, okay, well, if you can have kids if you want, but you don't necessarily have to be a living father. Yeah. You know, you could impregnate a girl here, a girl here, blah blah blah.
The Genghis Khan model, that is.
Genghis Khan game. So, could that work? Because I think for me, one of the issues with the whole thing is domesticity. Really, I find. I mean, I know what you mean about those things being nice.
You love it, Troy. Secretly, this is the guilty secret of players.
A sieve.
Yes, that's right.
Because look, there's a fundamental thing I should say is that you lose your
men, young men thrive on autonomy and yes. the freedom and the independence of spirit, and that is all clipped. When you get married, that's over. Like, if you value autonomy and making decisions unilaterally and doing what you want, like, until you're ready to hand that over, you shouldn't be getting married, because you'll be so frustrated.
Because what are the three things you say?
Yeah, you lose three major things when you get married. You lose autonomy over your dick, obviously, as long as you're faithful, but every guy will get caught if he's not, eventually. You lose autonomy over your wallet, because purchasing decisions are generally made together, and you lose autonomy, which is actually the worst, the hardest, over your schedule, because you don't have freedom of movement. You coordinate. And then when you
sign me up.
Then when you have a child, you have to, like, it's even more. The logistics are even more intense, because there's a helpless person to look after. So, like, I can't make that many unilateral choices in my life. So, but I was, like I said, I was 40. I had done that. I'd lived a single life, and I was ready for that. The trade-off for me made sense, but
this is the caveat. If you're listening to this and it's all sounding, you're thinking, fuck yeah, I knew it. You see, Tom Torero's one can sell that. You're forgetting that sitting in the kitchen with us is Paul Jankin. If you're new to game, you should just Google the OG videos. Paul, I've not really given any background on Paul in this podcast, because I'm assuming you know who Paul Jankin is. But if you don't, it's a good read, Getting Laid in New York. Just go back to the origins of US day game or London day game. So for someone who's been in the trenches, done what he wanted to do and more and some more, that's a perfectly reasonable decision. But don't you send me an email now if you're listening to this and you're 22 and you think, see, Tom, see, I told you I got six notches and I'm done.
I fought in two world wars and now I'm like in my country estate with my hounds. Yeah. You know, that's it. I'm done seeing the battlefield.
It's the caveat. You have to go into battle and get your hands dirty. Troy's looking. Troy's gone into deep thought.
You can't wait to be airdropped behind enemy lines. He's telling himself
again.
Shoot!
Well, we're off to Russia tomorrow. So
talking about behind enemy lines.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we're going to the front again, aren't we? To the freezing front line.
I will say though about your thing about having. I mean, dealing with one woman, I mean, my wife, and a child is fucking difficult enough and a headache. Like, the idea of having several mothers of my kids who are unconnected and the I mean, people. Anyone who's actually in that situation, turn on Jerry Springer or one of these shows. Yeah. It's a fucking nightmare. Well, I mean, dealing with the drama.
I think the caveat to it is you've got a shitload of money. So
silence people with cash.
Yeah. Well,
or you create enough insulation so their banging doesn't reach you.
Yeah. It's just this model of the, rather than this idea of the father being this person who's there, you know, 24/7 a week, and they're building dolls' houses with their daughters.
It's all very well to say that on Twitter, though, but I think the reality is when you've got a child in your arms, you know, it's one thing. I think we were talking about this last time. I don't take life advice from people in their 20s, and I don't listen to people talking about marriage and kids unless they are married with kids. Mm. You know, it's very popular, especially on places like Twitter, to talk a lot about getting married, settling down, having kids. None of those guys are married with kids.
Hypothetical.
It's hypothetical, what I would be like as a father, what it might be like if I'm not a player. But Paul's sitting here, married with kids, so... Mm. Yeah, I want to see a guy putting his money where his mouth is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a guy who's a player. You're like, well, okay, you got to have lived that lifestyle to be able to really... talk about it. So
I think another thing for me was, like, I certainly subscribe to this idea, but it doesn't have to be marriage, but that each sort of decade of life or section, you should try to stretch a little. So I had kind of done the Playboy bang it out kind of thing. So this is a different phase here. Fatherhood. Yes. So it could have been, you know, there was a very, years ago when I was just getting serious with my then girlfriend, there was a moment when I was going to take a different path, and instead of moving to London, I was going to move to Barcelona because I like to paint, and I was going to do the Vicky Cristina Barcelona thing. And I had money too. I was going to get an atelier, and I was going to and just bang, like, the tourists who came through and the Spanish girls, and paint and smoke cigarettes and eat tapas and just have my balls hanging out. And just, there could have been some incredible memories in that.
Picasso period.
Yeah, and paint and but I decided I didn't, my now wife wouldn't have waited around, I don't think. Yes. So I didn't do that, but that could have been also in a different way, a very satisfying period.
What's your next phase, Troy? Sex change?
The Nabokov phase.
The Nabokov phase. Nabokov lived in Berlin for a period of time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But he was from?
He was from
St. Petersburg.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So wow, yeah. Connecting the dots.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yes.
You might be entering a new phase, Troy, not in terms of a sex change, but you might be possibly going deeper in Berlin. Is that right?
Yeah, because I think Berlin is a sort of spiritual home for me in a way, because it's so decadent and debauched over
there. Is it less judgmental than Britain?
Well, it is, because... But the funny thing about Berlin, right, is that on the one hand, it's very liberal, so you've got that whole thing, and that's why some sort of conservative voices disapprove of it, because you've got all the green-haired people there and all of that.
However, mullets.
Yeah, but it's also very, very debauched and naughty and dirty, and it has been for centuries, really. And the liberal side hasn't pushed down the filth. The filth is still there, and there's lots of it. So I just feel like, from a philosophical point of view, it fits very well for me to sort of immerse myself.
For you, debauchery is a philosophical endeavor. I love that.
We often talk about it.
No, officer, I was at the strip joint because I was contemplating. No, it is.
It's not what it looks like. It's a PhD.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it is a philosophical position in a sense, because... You know, you get a lot of people who have this idea that there's a duty, that there's some sort of duty within life. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You should be a family man. And I reject the notion that it's a duty. I think where is the finishing line? It doesn't exist.
Well, it's finishing on this podcast because we've gone over time.
Oh.
Final thoughts, Paul Junk.
Yeah, I think every individual should do what they want. I think you should have, you know. The more experience you build up, it'll change your perspective on different choices. And I think the things I thought at 20 and the choices I had are different than I had at 30, or different at 40, or different at 50. And so I don't think there's any normative stuff, like one should do this or shouldn't do that. And there's many different ways to make meaning. And I think actually, in a way, we're moving towards a society where many alternative lifestyles, quote unquote, are more acceptable, aren't they? In other words, not settling down, continuing to be a bachelor, you know. So I think in a way... it's a good time to be a playboy, isn't it?
Final thoughts, Troy Fans?
I think it's a great time to be a playboy. The road is wide open. I just think, essentially, live and let live, really, to be honest. I mean, I've got no issue with people being monogamous or not. What I do have a bit of an issue with is people that take a very moral high ground about it, because I just think I think the position is incoherent, and I also think it's... There's too much judgmental from people. Too much judgmental behavior from people who are
might be, you know, veiled jealousy. It's like, I gotta fuck the same old hag, and you're gonna do it too. It's like, come join the miserable lot. There could be some of that. So, I mean, people must be envious that you guys. I mean, this traditional nuclear. There's a lot of responsibility and monotony can be monotonous, and you guys have avoided that. You could be banging 23-year-old Russian girls in a couple days. You probably will be. And like with unencumbered, so I mean, there's probably envy and jealousy there too.
But coming back to wrap it all up with a nice bow, I say do what you want. And I usually my Skype calls finish with like that. And the guy's like, well, that's not very helpful. But I say, look, if you've got it out of your system, then sure, go off. Comes back to happiness. What makes you happy? I always quote a friend I've got from school. He's never left the town. He's in the same pub. He sits on the same seat. He married the girl from school. But when I sit down with him and have a beer, he's genuinely happy. Mm-hmm. Happy because he's slightly naive. He's never left Wales. God bless him. So, yeah, personal happiness. You can't really argue with a man. And I agree with you, Troy. You shouldn't lecture another man. Mm-hmm. If a guy's out there banging and he's happy, good on him. If a guy's there raising four kids, you know, solid Christian household, good on him. But it's the judgment that's the issue, isn't it?
And there's also personality composition too. I think they've done studies. People operate within a pretty narrow band of happiness based on their constitution. Yeah. So like a miserable fucker, he's going to be miserable in any circumstance. And a happy-go-lucky guy, you can put him in, like you said, and may he just be happy. You know? So I think a lot of that's out of our control.
Yes.
Our disposition.
And on that note, We were about to say goodbye, but what has Paul Janker been doing since I last saw you, Paul? Actually, the last time I saw you, well, not counting before Christmas, was years ago in the old Day Game House in Marble Arch, a house of sin, filth, literally, metaphorically, a filthy house.
Take one of those X-ray things across. No, you know how it's ultraviolet light across the carpeting just to see
across the sofas.
What have I been doing?
What have you been doing for I think almost 10 years?
Yeah, getting married, having a baby, building businesses, pipe and slipper kind of stuff, getting settled into London, reading a lot of good novels. Off mic, we talk about literature, the three of us. So yeah, just enjoying my life and trying to be productive.
I was certainly saying, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Nah, not really.
First guess, it's never plugged. Even Troy Francis plugs away.
Yeah, I have a new, for those of you who are crazy enough to want to take the plunge, I have a new course on how to select the right woman for marriage so it doesn't fail, how to, 5 steps to the altar to make sure you hit all the steps so you don't screw your marriage up, and what life being married is like, and thoughts about how to approach fatherhood and about having a kid. It's called No Man Left Behind, and just Google it and you can find it. It's a great course, guys love it.
Co-written by Tom Torero.
There's plenty of hot, fiery stuff for guys whose engines are revved about some. I teach a new concept that I haven't taught anywhere else called DNT, Decision Node Theory, that we'll talk about when we're off tape a little bit. It's very interesting stuff. And then it's really good for guys in their 30s who want to think about settling down, and I can kind of spell out the pitfalls and the roadblocks and stuff.
Very nice, Troy. Sounds like you'll be buying a copy.
Absolutely. Will it teach me how to meet a low-quality girl?
You can have like a time-locked membership that doesn't open until you're 60. And then on your 60th birthday, you're in.
Troy, anything you'd like to plug?
Well, I have got a new book that's going to be coming out soon on the very topic of monogamy and non-monogamy, so there'll be some more news on that coming up in the near future. Beyond that, I'm not sure really. Well, I've got my monthly subscription.
Hang it out, come on.
Yeah. I've got my monthly subscription product, which is available now. So it's a PDF and a video, which comes out every month. Maybe Tom will link to it, or you can go onto my website and have a look, but that will, so that's going to be basically stories from the month, or stories of things that have happened to me in terms of game, in terms of dating, in terms of girls, and then a breakdown of the specific game techniques that I've used in order to get those results. So it's a great package. You're going to love it.
It's a full package.
It's a very, very full package.
We'll leave it there. I've got absolutely nothing to plug, nothing to flog. It's the first time ever. You just rip everything, you cheeky bastards. Right, that was podcast episode 182. God bless you.
Thank you.
Paul Janker and Troy Francis. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bang, bang, and so